What's up, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because your 9 to 5 may make you a living, but your 5 to 9 makes you alive. In this episode, you'll meet Anthony and Janilka Hartzog, who were on a mission to erase 6 figures of debt, which they ended up doing in under 2 years. They were making good money at their day jobs. They're following the Dave Ramsey debt snowball plan, but they came to this realization, like many listeners of the show do, there's only so much you can cut from your budget. That's when they turned to the income side of the equation and started a ton of different side hustles. They picked up second jobs at their gym. They were renting out their car on Turo. They were dog sitting. And inspired by my episode with Chris Schwab, 295, they started a residential cleaning business called maids2match.com. Today, that business is doing 20 to 25 grand a month in sales, with other people doing the cleaning. Anthony and Janilka are fully in business owner mode, dedicating just a few hours a week to it. Stick around in this one to hear how they got it done while working full time, including how they connect with reliable cleaners and the marketing tactics that are paying off. You can follow along with their journey at The Hartrimony on Instagram, H-A-R-T, and you'll find the full text summary of this episode, along with the links and resources mentioned at sidehustlenation.com/clean2. While you're there, make sure to download the free list of 101 service business ideas that you might be able to apply Anthony and Janilka's strategy to. Once again, that's at sidehustlenation.com/clean2 or through the link in the episode description of your podcast player app. I'll be back with my top takeaways after the interview. Ready? Let's do it.
I came across one of your interviews where it was a guy that was making $10,000 a month in cleaning, but the caveat was he wasn't cleaning houses himself. That was a big caveat. So I brought the idea to my esteemed wife, and
I said no. At that time, at first I thought he meant that we were going to be cleaning, and he explained no. But at that time, we had never run a business before, so it was just kind of left field. It's like, well, how would we do this? How would we know where to start? He's like, I'm telling you, I listen to this podcast and he's been doing it. So it kind of was a no. And then he brought it back maybe 2-3 months after with more results, more information that he gained. And that was the kickstart for us.
All right. So this is Chris Schwab, you know, from ThinkMades. It's like, if he can do this, while he's still in college, like, we ought to be able to figure this out. After convincing Janilka, what was the next step to make this thing a reality?
Before she even came back around and quote unquote me convincing her, the idea had to be planted first. That was a big part of it. Plant the idea, plant the seed, and then we'll revisit it over the next couple of weeks. So I spoke to Chris and he explained some of the basics. I did a lot of Googling, a lot of researching, and it was like, listen, we could do this. We're not going to have to clean. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to hire contractors. It's going to be similar to like Handy.com or Airbnb or Uber.
DoorDash.
We're not going to deliver food. We're not going to have hotels. It's going to be us connecting cleaners with people who want their houses cleaned.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because taking advantage of the current state of the business, where a lot of these existing operators in the cleaning space and in really a lot of local service businesses, they don't have a great online presence. They kind of rely just on the clients they've always had, or, you know, maybe a little bit of word of mouth. But like, they're not doing a lot of proactive marketing stuff in the digital age. And so you're saying, okay, we can come in here and present a well thought out brand, which you've done at maids2match.com, and then go out and find cleaners for that. So was it a matter of trying to book the jobs first or try and find cleaners first?
Oh, that's our number one question.
The chicken, which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Well, we always say that we get the contractors first because we don't want to do the clean. So if you start booking the jobs and they come in, unless you're able to go out there and do the clean, you need to have the contractors. And I know sometimes people are saying, well, I don't have enough work for contractors, so why would I continue to bring them on? But as a contractor, they have other jobs. They're not just relying on you. So that's okay for them to just be waiting, maybe a week or two to get jobs from you. But we definitely say get the contractors, unless you are comfortable going to clean the home yourself.
And we tell all of of our students that, because it's important to know what you're going to do first, because a lot of them get stuck on that what comes first part of it. And if we tell you what should come first, you should just go and do that.
So we
try to make it as simple as possible when we're talking about this business structure, not only for us to learn it, but also for our students as well.
What was that process like for you guys to find those cleaners?
That's the hardest part of the business.
People.
Finding people to this day, when people always ask us, we would say, always be hiring. So we're always marketing. The same way we market for our cleaning business, we market for contractors as well. Because, you know, as a contractor, they have the flexibility of one day saying, yeah, I don't want to work anymore, or moving, or whatever the case may be. So if we want to continue to grow, we need to continue to market to them. So that is an ongoing process for us.
And we try to market in various different ways. So we talk about free marketing versus paid marketing. So a lot of free places where you can find people are Facebook groups, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are looking for jobs on Facebook. Craigslist, a lot of cleaners. When you're talking about looking for contractors, looking for cleaners, they're still marketing in places like that to find cleaning jobs. So if they're still on Craigslist looking for jobs, they'd be on Craigslist looking for work as well. Nextdoor.com is another big place we look for cleaners on the free side of things. But paid, I'm looking for people on Yelp, Thumbtack, also Indeed, ZipRecruiter. So we teach people different ways to kind of find the cleaners, but there's numerous ways to find them.
And let's say you find somebody through a Nextdoor, through a Craigslist. What's the pitch to them? Is it just, we'd love to add you to our roster, we're a new cleaning business. If you have any availability in your calendar, we'd love to be able to try and help you fill that. Like, what's that conversation like?
We basically let them know like what we can provide for them. Why would you work with us, basically?
What's in it for me?
What's in it for them? And how frequent we pay, how much we pay, all those type of things we go over with them in the process before we continue on with the interview process. So yeah, we do pitch the services in that way. It varies. Some people like have done it before, or they know the platform, they know like how it works, so they're like totally understand. And some people feel like it's too good to be true. And so they're like, huh? Like, so I just get this amount. So we basically say like, you do the job well, we handle everything else. We handle the marketing, we have everything else. You just got to show up, do the clean, and that's it.
You don't have to worry about the pricing. You don't have to worry about the customer service. You don't have to worry about rescheduling. We handle all of those things that they're usually not good at. Mm-hmm. And most cleaning technicians are good at cleaning. So most people in the local service business is really good at cleaning.
Right. Talk to me about the pricing conversation, because this is, I mean, you got to make money on the spread. If they're used to charging, I don't know, $80 to do this job, and you're going to charge the customer $80, there's no margin left over. Tell me about how that piece of the puzzle works.
Okay. So when it comes to pricing, we're very upfront about that. Our cleaners get 60%, we get 40%. And they're able to see right away how much they'll get paid for a job when they're accepting it. We also encourage them to go onto our website so they can see how much we are charging clients. But also it's a partnership. So if they are somewhere and they feel like, hey, the client should be charged a bit more, they kind of communicate that to us as well. So that's an ongoing conversation, but we're very upfront about the pricing, and we're priced a bit higher so that the split does make sense. And we also ask them when we start working with them, how much do they charge their clients, so we can get an idea of, okay, once we split this, does it make sense? Is it too high? Is it too low, to kind of go from there?
And it also makes sense for our clients as well, because we always get the conversation as to, oh, I had a private cleaner and it was a lot cheaper than you guys. Why are you guys more expensive? Mm-hmm. But there's a reason why you're talking to us, why you're having a conversation with us, because either your previous cleaner wasn't good enough for you, or what happens more likely is that they cancel.
Yeah.
And now you're stranded and you need somebody last minute. But if someone cancels on us, we have an entire team that we could get out to you versus just having one person.
Okay. Is there a target hourly rate that you found cleaners are happy with?
Yeah, what we say is the rate kind of breaks down to, even with the 60%, it ranges from about $25 to $35 an hour. But honestly, it's usually probably 30 plus.
Yeah.
Usually, depending on how fast they clean or how good they are, how many jobs they're able to take. Do they have a team so they can take bigger homes? All those things varies. But I would say it's usually no less than $30 an hour.
Okay. And do you guys have it where it's somewhat fixed pricing? Like, hey, if you got a 2-bedroom place, it's this. If you have a 3-bedroom place, it's this.
Yes, we have a flat rate. But obviously, if you add on things, if it's a deep clean, or if you're looking for a move in, move out, where we're doing inside fridge and oven, square footage does come into place when it's like 2,500 square feet and higher. So those type of things. But mostly it is the flat rate. What you see there is what you're going to Right.
And that works out for our clients as well, because they don't feel like, if you're doing the hourly rate, mm-hmm. they may feel like we're trying to milk the clock, but also it helps us with our cleaners as well. So we don't have to worry about them or anyone attempting to milk the clock while they're cleaning as well. So our clients know once we get there, that's the price. Mm-hmm. And our cleaners know once you get there, that's the price for that right. you're going to make. So if you finish it really well and you do the job well, that's what you're getting paid. If you want to take your time, that's totally fine, because you're getting paid the same rate. The owner's going to pay the same rate as well.
And you ever roll up to a house or have one of your cleaners roll up to the house and be like, no way. There's no way I'm getting out of here and making any sort of money. This is going to take days.
We have a very open relationship. So if they get somewhere and it's more than what they, like what the client had put on the booking form, because all these homes are sight unseen. All of our clients are booking us online.
Yeah.
So we go by their word, but we tell our contractors, you're our eyes and ears. If you get there and it's not what it says, we need to know. So we've had that happen, and we have them send us pictures, and we have the conversation with the client of like, you know, this is more than what was said. You know, this is what the price will be. Yes or no. And that's how we proceed.
And even with that flat rate pricing, we have an asterisk that says this is for the average house that's normally cleaned on a periodic basis. Mm-hmm. So if we get to the home, we have the right to give you a new pricing based on the conditions that we see. Yeah. And you have the right to decline the service at that time, which is totally fine.
But that's why we tell them as soon as we get there, so that it's not like we're cleaning and then 4 hours in, they're like, yeah, no, I don't want to pay that.
So you're kind of building this informal Rolodex of cleaners who have agreed to, you know, open up their schedule or be open to extra bookings at this price split. And then you go about the marketing stuff for the clients. Tell me about that. Tell me about how you guys found your first bookings.
Oh, yeah. So our first booking was from Thumbtack.
Yeah.
And we got them on Thanksgiving Day.
The day after
Black Thanksgiving, Friday. Black Friday, we were with family. And one thing about Thumbtack, it's very hands-on. You have to nurture the client multiple times. Mm-hmm. And we tell our students very early on, get as many reviews as you can. Try to do free cleanings for family and friends, so that by the time you start paying for marketing, you already have some initial reviews there. So on Thumbtack, you got to nurture the client. You got to massage the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then also early on, we priced ourselves a little bit lower so that we could start getting bookings on those platforms as well. First booking came in on Black Friday.
And we had a contractor ready for the job night before. She says she can't make it. Of course. Why would the first cleaning be easy?
Yep.
So we went into like a group out here in Dallas that has cleaners. And we said, hey, we need assistance. Can anybody take this job tomorrow morning? And we found someone who ended up working with us as a contractor who was able to go to the job. And she did a great job. This first job actually had a farm in their backyard.
Yeah.
Which was just like, what? She's like, yeah, they have like pigs back there and like 4 or 5 dogs. So the place is very hairy.
Well, she said a pigsty. And we was like, oh,
yeah.
It's dirty.
I thought she was talking.
Said, literally, it's a pigsty. I was like, what?
But she got the job done, and that's how that first job went. But we've had other jobs at the beginning that like somebody, it was a married couple. They got into an argument. Somebody left somebody on the side of the road. We actually went and did that one. Luckily, that was kind of just a quick, they were just taking pictures. So we just have to kind of like wipe down and sweep and mop. So,
and we got that client from next door too.
Right. So those were, we've done about 2,700 bookings, and we've cleaned 3 homes ourselves.
Yeah.
And that was way at the beginning. At this point, if someone can't make it, we would just reschedule the client.
Okay. Versus early on, say like, all right, well, can't find anybody to get it done. So I'm going to go and roll up my sleeves and do it myself.
Yeah, we did those 3 bookings on one weekend. And then we was like, uh-uh.
Because early on, you're very nervous about your reputation and the reviews you're going to get. So you want to be mindful of that early on. But now, you know, worse, we've gotten negative reviews. Most of our reviews are 5-star reviews. We get a 1 or 3-star here and there, which we understand. But people like to threaten you with reviews, we realize. Yep. So we're at the point where we're not going to be threatened or bullied because you wanted a specific thing that we weren't able to accommodate. But we try to live by the business model that customers are always right, unless they're wrong. And we try to convey that in the nicest way possible. So,
did you know that roughly half of Side Hustle Nation hasn't started their side hustle yet? If that's you, I get it. Starting and building a business is tough. It takes more than just an idea. There are tons of moving parts, and it's a bit like trying to assemble your airplane in the middle of takeoff. Thankfully, our sponsor Taylor Brands is helping Side Hustle Show listeners make that leap and make it all a lot easier. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, making sure you have everything you need all in one place. Think of it like your behind-the-scenes partner for things like LLC formation, licenses and permits, getting an EIN, setting up your business bank account, bookkeeping and invoicing, insurance, logos, trademark protection, and a lot more. Taylor Brands helps you handle it all seamlessly. And to get you started, Side Hustle Show listeners get 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans when you use our link. That's taylorbrands.com/sidehustle. Taylor Brands, like a tailor for your clothes, taylorbrands.com/sidehustle. Start your business journey today with the help of Taylor Brands. When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search and hit the ground running with your new hire. But what if you could get rid of the search part and just get matched with qualified candidates? Well, now you can with our sponsor, Indeed. It's simple. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. The matching and hiring platform is trusted by over 3.5 million businesses worldwide to connect with great talent faster. And 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. For my next hire, I'm using Indeed to tap into a talent pool of 350 million unique monthly visitors. And what else is cool is Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. And how about this? Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. So Thumbtack is kind of a pay to bid type of platform, right? So somebody will come on and say, I need a cleaner for this date. And then you will say, okay, I want to bid on this job.
Yeah. And Thumbtack, you pay based on the qualifications of the lead. So if they want a larger home and they want it to be a reoccurring booking, Thumbtack is going to make you pay more. And their mindset is that you're going to pay more for this booking because you're going to make more money if you do book the service. But also now you have their contact information if they actually do book reoccurring services. It kind of gets pricey pretty quickly, especially with people who just, there's a lot of tire kickers on there. So you can kind of rack up some serious money just trying to get leads on Thumbtack. So that's one of the reasons why we left that platform very early on, within like 6 months. Mm-hmm. But our oldest client is actually, for our longest tenured client is actually from Thumbtack.
Yeah.
Their home's been cleaned every week for 3 years now, mm-hmm. every single week.
Wow.
So it actually worked out.
Very worthwhile to pay for that lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris kind of mentioned the same thing in our last conversation with him, I want to say last summer, where Thumbtack is, maybe that ship has sailed a little bit. It's a little bit more difficult to kind of get a toehold in as they've adjusted their pricing. But Nextdoor, you mentioned, is another channel. What's worked on there?
So Nextdoor, you get a lot of people who are just in the neighborhood. Nextdoor is a neighborhood platform. Nextdoor is just a bunch of neighbors just talking about what's happening in their community. So you'll get things from, I'm looking for a recommendation for a restaurant, to I'm looking for a recommendation for a handyman and a cleaner. So normally that happens, that people will just be on that platform looking for cleaners. Who do you recommend? And that's not talking about pricing. If you're just pretty accommodating to answer their questions, they'll book with you. But you got to just be on the platform pretty frequently and available to answer any questions that come up.
And also on there, you hear sometimes they say like, oh, well, my cleaner is looking for more work. Does anybody have it? And so that is something that we look out for as well.
Yeah.
Because then we're like, oh, we can make them a contractor. Let's see what's their availability. Let's reach out to them. So that's actually another way that Nextdoor can be used.
I actually just recently did that. Someone said that the cleaner wanted more work. So I asked for the contact information. I haven't followed up with them. I got sidetracked. But like I said, that's a great place to find cleaners and work. It just requires a little bit more availability.
Anything else on the marketing front to connect? I mean, 2,700 bookings. Where are all these people finding you?
Oh, yeah.
Our biggest one to date is Yelp and SEO. And I know that some people are indifferent with Yelp, but it's helped us tremendously. So that is where it goes. And then SEO.
Yelp. And also to go back to Yelp, it depends on your market too. We got people in Dallas who love Yelp. We got people in other places of the country who actually absolutely hate Yelp. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, I would say just try all marketing platforms, just see what sticks for you. Mm-hmm. And then we also did Google Ads very early on, which was very, it took up a lot of time and money. We weren't ready for that. So we're going to actually go back to Google Ads probably sometime this year. But SEO, search engine optimization, we've been cranking out leads from people just finding us organically on Google for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. It took us three, we actually use a actually a company for SEO, but it took us 3 years to kind of get to where we are with the SEO marketing. So now we're ranking on the first page for a lot of keywords, maids Dallas, cleaning Dallas, things like that. So people just find us just by typing in those keys.
I want to talk about that for a second, because Dallas, it's not a small city. We're talking like 7 million people, one of the biggest cities, you know, in the country. I imagine there were already a handful of well-established cleaning service, number one, like well-entrenched competition. And number two, it just seems like that's, I guess, why go after cleaning business Dallas or maid service Dallas versus, you know, Arlington or Frisco, or like trying to pick off like some of these like maybe slightly smaller suburbs.
Oh, yeah. So we started with the suburbs early on. So that's kind of how we got our footing and some traffic, because when we first started with SEO, it was like, there's no way you're going to be able to dominate Dallas, which we still aren't. We're on the first page with keywords, but it just depends on the keyword. But we started with some of the smaller areas. Richardson, Plano is actually a huge market. And we didn't know that until we started doing SEO. And it's like, yeah, you might want to just focus on Plano instead of trying to focus on Dallas. So we kind of went to Garland, Richardson, Plano, Arlington, Grand Prairie. So we went around the suburbs of Dallas before we started focusing more on Dallas.
But now like 90% of our jobs are in Dallas though.
Yeah, that's interesting. We had a guy who was doing web development out of Phoenix, or actually a suburb of Phoenix. And so that was his like, don't try and go for like, you know, the whole metro, like try and find this little sub neighborhood that you're a part of. And because people might be looking for that local stuff. Is that a factor of being on Google My Business? Like what else is working local SEO wise?
Thing about our physical location is that we're located in Dallas. So area that we're in is pretty centralized to Dallas. So being on Google My Business, when you're in a Google map, you type in cleaning service near me, guess who pops up? Because we're in Dallas as well. So that helps us a ton. And we try to keep those pictures updated. That's another one that brings us free marketing. Mm-hmm. We try to keep our pictures updated, our hours updated. So
before and
afters. Before and afters. And it helps us in our rankings because they'll see last updated, you know, this week or last week. So they know we're a live cleaning business as well. So that helps a ton.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So there is some element that's less set it and forget it, but just, you know, kind of keep it clean, so to speak. Keep it up to date.
Yeah. So anytime there's a new blog that goes up, anyone who searched for our pictures, they may get a little alert or something like that. So it does help.
Where do you prioritize sending customers for reviews? Because Thumbtack has a review platform. Yelp is obviously a huge review platform. Google has their own review platform. Facebook has their own review platform. Where do you prioritize that?
So we don't send anyone to Thumbtack anymore because we're not on it anymore. So
and we got a good 70, I think it's like 60, 70 reviews.
Yeah, we had a good amount there. So we don't send anybody there now. So our priority is Google and Yelp. And we haven't pumped Facebook as much, but we have done that as well because we've booked clients from Facebook. But Google and Yelp, but it really depends with Yelp. I say definitely Google because anyone that has a Gmail can leave the review. With Yelp, you have to basically be a Yelper for it to stick.
Yelper.
Yeah. You can leave the review, but it would not show up basically for everyone to see. Like we can see if you left it, but if it's the first time you made an account and you don't have any friends or pictures and this is your first review, it's not going to stick. So instead of having to know for a fact who has Yelp and who doesn't, we really push Google more than anything else because there's no question there that it's definitely going to go up regardless.
So when you're asking for reviews on especially Yelp, they got to have a few things. So they got to have a picture. Mm-hmm. They got to have a profile. They have to have friends. And they also have to have left reviews before.
Yes.
So those are four key criteria for a person to kind of leave reviews on Yelp.
Yeah.
Because we have over 80 reviews and only 50 of them are showing.
Yeah.
So we can see the other 30, but
you can't. The clients can't, so it doesn't matter.
And they say non-verified reviews or something like that. Yeah. So when you're looking for reviews, I would say stick to Google, but if you think people are going to leave them on Yelp and they're a Yelper, then go for it. Sometimes we just ask for both.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah. I didn't realize all that stuff about Yelp. They're trying to protect their platform. And if it's your first review, you come here, 5 stars. Well, yeah, clearly you have some connection to these people. Who knows? You know. But that's interesting. Yeah, focus on the Google stuff because that will be visible and helps dominate those local near me types of searches. Anything else on the marketing front? This is all great.
I would say with the Google reviews, that's important too, because when you do search for the review, when you search for the cleaning business, they got this thing called the local service pack, where local services can be featured on the top of Google if you have a certain amount of reviews and you apply for it. That's a paid platform as well, but that gets you to the top of the Google ads so that people can say, all right, well, my three choices are these three businesses. Who has the most reviews? So that goes a long way too.
Yeah, there's some social proof in there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, and this is cool. So I'm on maidstomatch.com. There's like these cool sliders that say, well, how many bedrooms do you have? Where are you located? How do you want to sign up for, you know, weekly, every 2 weeks? That's very cool. Like, what happens after somebody goes through this kind of online booking process? Let's just say I fill this in and I want to sign up. What happens next?
So once they book, we get an email saying that a client booked. They get an email saying that they booked the service. Mm-hmm. And we basically see the time and day. And we would reach out to our contractor saying, hey, we have a two-bedroom, two-bathroom in Frisco on Friday with arrival 8 to 10 a.m. Do you want it? That's basically how it goes, depending on their availability. They say yes or no. We assign it to the contractor. Then the client gets an email saying that, like, this confirms your cleaning. Because when you book, it doesn't really confirm that we're going to come out, but it just says, like, okay, we received it. So then they get an email saying that it's confirmed.
Was that invite to the contractor, was that a one-on-one, like, you sent that to them, or was that some, like, automated system?
That's through the platform.
In the beginning, we were having to manually just text everyone individually.
So we only had one person, two people.
Yeah. So we were just texting in a group chat like, hey, this is what we have. But now through the platform, we just kind of send the blast and kind of whoever answers first will get the job.
And they could say if they want it or no, and it will get an email saying this person wants this job.
Yeah. And so then we make a decision there.
So you're having about 8 to 10 contractors. It makes that process a lot easier. Early on, we didn't mind sending a text here and there, but mm-hmm. now that we got, you know, so many, we're still growing. We try to automate as much as we can.
Yeah, that makes sense. What platform is that?
That's Launch 27.
And when the client gets a reminder 3 days before we come and a day before we come, so that they just, you know, let them know we're coming, make sure everything is correct with address and everything like that. And we show up and do the clean.
Then you show up. So they pay through the website and,
yes.
and you guys take your 40% and pass on 60% to the cleaner. And then everybody walks away happy.
They pay through the website, and I think the back end is actually Stripe. So it's a platform they're familiar with. So it's not like we're collecting any money. We don't collect money, number one.
Yeah.
So everything goes through the website. Everything goes through Stripe. And then we pay our cleaners every Friday via direct deposit, and it's no cash transactions.
Right. The only cash is if a client gives our cleaner a tip, and that's all theirs to keep. But they can even put the tip on the website as well. So.
Okay. Are you guys, I noticed there's a phone number on here too. Are you answering the phones yourself and trying to balance the day jobs and everything else that goes on?
So we were. We currently we're not, thankfully. We have virtual assistants to do that, but we were answering the phones for a good while before we had to like pass it off, before we were running out of meetings and we're like, okay, this is becoming too much. Then we got virtual assistants.
Yeah, earlier we weren't getting that many calls where it was impacting us, but now we get enough calls where it'd be a nuisance trying to run out between meetings and picking up the phone. So
we were losing business, so we want to make sure we answer all those calls because, you know, if someone calls you and you don't answer, they go right on to the next person, and so you could have lost them there. So
and they answer our phones Monday through Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Was that an individual contractor that you found for that answering service, or was it a company that, you know, that was just on their menu of service offerings?
It's a company that answers for different cleaning businesses, which we recently actually just bought. So we now have a virtual assistant company less than a month in. So
yeah, we just started with that. And pretty much they help cleaning business owners run and manage their business like they helped us. So opportunity came up and we purchased the business from the previous owners. So now we have a virtual assistant company.
Oh my gosh, this is like the Rockefeller habit. Like, you know, why am I going to pay a profit to somebody else? I'll just bring this in-house. And you're like, now we got side hustles on side hustles.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun one because we knew the value that they were bringing. And we were like, we can't let this company just, you know, because they were going to close it. We was like, we can't let this company close. So I kind of did my diligence and started hitting up the owners and texting them and calling them because we also had a relationship with the owners as well. He's like, we don't want you guys to close this business. We wouldn't mind taking it over. What can we work out? We worked it out and now we're running this business as well.
Do you want to plug it?
Oh, it's ziggyva.com. We mainly work with cleaning business owners looking to grow and scale their business. So people that were in similar stages to where we are, where you kind of get to that point where you can't answer every call, you want to start worrying about hiring, marketing, they can help with all of that. They do.
They respond to leads, Yelp leads, Google leads, you know, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Help with hiring. So it's been great.
Mm-hmm. Well, very cool. ZiggyVA.com. We'll link that up in the show notes. With the automations and assistants that you have in place, what kind of time does it take on a daily or weekly basis to run this thing?
Early on, it was a lot.
Early on, it was way more. Now, if I had to put it all together, just the amount of time I may speak to a contractor just for the week, I don't know. I'd probably say an hour, hour and a half. I'm not sure if it is even that much. But one time we measured it, like we were literally doing it by the second. Each time we spoke to someone and said yes or no, and like on a Saturday, I think we had like 5 or 6 bookings and it came out to be like 12 minutes. It really doesn't take that much out of our day at this point, at least.
That's just the labor you do, but you think about the business and you talk about it so much, but in terms of just physically being in the business, less than an hour a week, but we're always talking about it. We're always thinking about something. So it feels like it's a lot more than that, but
right.
Like labor, it's literally just an hour a week, if that.
That's awesome. I'm excited for what you guys have built. If you travel a lot for work or for vacation, you might be familiar with that feeling you get knowing you're leaving your space unused for long periods of time and you're still paying for that privilege. But hosting on Airbnb means you don't have to leave your home sitting empty when you're away. Being an Airbnb host isn't just a way to earn some extra cash. It's a chance to share your space and make a guest's vacation all the more memorable. You might be thinking, maybe my place isn't the right fit, but don't write it off just yet. Your potential Airbnb might be right in front of you. Whether it's a spare room or even your entire home, there's an opportunity waiting. Airbnb turns your home into a practical and even profitable venture. We just got back from a family trip to Hawaii where we stayed in a great Airbnb, but our place back home could have been a highlight to somebody else's travels, and we could have used the extra cash to help pay for the trip. So if you're curious about hosting on Airbnb, find out how much your space could be worth by visiting airbnb.com/host. Once again, that's airbnb.com/host. Any surprises along the way or things you wish you'd known starting out?
What would we have done earlier? We say we would have done SEO earlier.
Especially because we had the revenue, not even from this business, but we also were saving up money. So we had the ability to do it.
Right.
But we just didn't do it early on.
So yeah, we didn't start SEO until like 6-7 months in. We would have done that. A big surprise that we had, which I guess it depends on the state, is we weren't charging sales taxes. And so the government made it very clear that they wanted their money right away. And we started charging sales tax. We didn't know that we had to. So we did see other businesses have it. But we're like, oh, we'll just do a flat rate so that we can stand out. And then we got an accountant and she was like, oh, no, it's not an option for you where you live. You have to charge it. We're like, oh, okay. So a year and a half into the business and we had to pay like all of that. So, yeah.
But again, we weren't taking out profit from the business.
We didn't take any profit.
We were just putting it all in an account for taxes and whatever. And so we had to cut the check. It was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
we just won't do it again.
That was a big surprise, and that was one of our biggest surprises. Other than that, I don't know if there was anything else.
Yeah,
that stuck with us.
Hire someone early.
Yeah,
those surprises are the worst. I got a note from the city of Livermore, and it was like, "You owe us, you know, 3 years of back taxes for like home use of your business," or it was like some ridiculous made up thing. And I was like, what is this for? And it was a time when the business wasn't doing so well. It's just, you never want to get those. I'm always nervous when I get a letter that says like, you know, return address, IRS or something, like, oh, this is not good.
They did the same thing for us. The amount that they said, I don't even remember, it was something outrageous. And it's like, we need it in like a week. And we're like, well, when we finally spoke to them, like, how did you get this number? They're like, oh, well, we estimate what other people around you are usually making with the business. So we're not really sure.
This is like, we're only a year in. So how did you get this number?
And we're like, no, that's not what we made. They're like, oh, okay, it can be adjusted. Like, oh, thanks.
We would just send them a huge check.
Yeah.
They would have kept it.
that was like, uh-oh. So
yeah, we got that squared away. So I guess another thing would have been hiring an accountant earlier, or at least someone to look at the books. It doesn't have to be an accountant or a CPA, just someone to overlook the books for you. Probably something we would have done earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of that, you know, legal back office stuff. It's so time consuming. And it's so frustrating because you're like, this has nothing to do with the operations. But on the other hand, it kind of does, because that's what separates, you know, the people that you're hiring to do the cleaning from you guys, is that existing infrastructure and everything in place. But you mentioned the Ziggy VA, that's a big project to take on. What else is coming down the road? What are you guys excited about for this year?
We're really trying to scale the business. So we've said that usually, but now we're at a point we recognize, okay, we put more money into marketing, we get more clients. It's just simple math. And so we're really trying to bring on more contractors to continue to grow. Like last month, we did our highest month ever. And then—
Congrats.
Thank you. So we're looking to—
And then this month would have been higher than last month.
February would have been higher than the month than January. Sorry, January was the highest month ever. And then February would have been high, but we had to close down for a week because of the storm.
So that showed us.
But then like last week, we did our highest week ever. It just keeps growing. So we're like, we really need to get more contractors in here to continue to grow our business. We want to do like 40K a month. Right now, we are between like 20 to 25K a month with sales. So we want to continue to scale that. And that's our big focus.
And then also bringing in, maybe hiring people to kind of help us scale or people to help us run the business. Because I know right now we can both do it and have our, you know, 9-to-5s and things and all these other businesses, but we need help.
Yeah.
So that's going to be our big thing for 2021 to elevate it and bring help in as well.
And, you know, another part of our business is that we, as we mentioned, we sell courses on how to get your business up and running. And then we have a community where we help people to do it as well. So that's another thing that is not necessarily the cleaning business, but it's still part of, and it's an extension of it, basically.
That's a huge part of it too.
Yeah. So growing that. And so that's some of the stuff that we're looking forward to this year.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot going on. There's no question about that. I mean, do you see, like, we're just going to dominate Dallas, or do you see this like Maids to Match brand going national at some point?
No, I'm saying we've toyed with that, but we think that we need to excel at the Dallas one first before we even think about franchising anywhere else. Like at least get it to a point where we want it to be, and then we can consider anything other places.
Yeah, our SEO guy, he's like, you guys are bringing enough traffic where you can start thinking about other locations. He's like, Dallas may take a long time to get to 1, 2, or 3. So you guys are dominating those suburbs. He's like, we can still focus on Dallas or maybe start moving to other cities where you guys can start focusing on. So it's an option. You never know. People ask us all the time, do you want to do a franchise? And like, we have no idea what that looks like. Let us focus on what we're doing right now. And we'll figure that part out later if it does come up.
Yeah. Well, it's a really cool example of one of these really fragmented businesses where there's no dominant, you know, regional, it's definitely national, but, you know, there's no dominant player where they're like, they're the go-to brand for that. And so there's an opportunity for you guys to come in, present a well thought out, easy to use interface, you know, for the customer side of things, and really perform well in a pretty short period of time. So I think it's one that's replicable, repeatable, not just in cleaning, but in any number of local services. So I'm really excited for what you guys have built at the Hartrimony, which is a play on the last name. You find them over on Instagram there. Anthony and Janilka, thanks so much for taking the time to share the ins and outs of this thing. Let's wrap this up with a couple number one tips for Side Hustle Nation here.
So number one tip for me would be, it may sound cliche, but keep going because you never know what's on the other side of that quitting factor. Early on, you know, we were about 7 months in. We had a dry summer. We was like, it's not worth it, the time commitment. And we were like, we were right on the edge of quitting. And that August, we boosted up. Our numbers doubled out of nowhere. No new marketing, nothing. It just doubled. And we just kept going from there. So if we would have quit, we would have never known where we would have been today. We wouldn't have been able to help as many people as we have so far. So keep going.
My tip would be, at least with side hustling, pick something that I think is flexible and maybe something that you're good at as well. So I know like one of the side hustles that I've done, you know, I'm a mental health therapist. I started to do therapy online. Like I know sometimes people think since it's an extension of their career, it's not a side hustle, but it is. You know, it's not necessarily your 9-to-5. So if there's something that you enjoy doing and if there's something that's flexible and doesn't cause, you know, stress, then go for it.
I like it, guys. Thanks again for joining me. Awesome story. I'm excited to see what you guys will continue to build over there, and hopefully we'll be able to keep in touch. So thanks so much, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
I think this is a really cool business model. It's almost like drop shipping for physical products where you don't buy the inventory until you've gotten paid by the customer. For Anthony and Janilka, the way they have it set up, they don't pay for the labor until they've got a booked job. And that makes for a very flexible, low-risk type of setup. All right, takeaways from this episode. A couple things stood out. The first was building relationships with existing cleaners or cleaning crews who might be interested in picking up more jobs. If you're a service provider and someone comes and offers you more work that you didn't have to go out and market for yourself, you didn't have to sell it, and the compensation is in line with what you'd like to earn, I think that's going to be compelling. So that was number one for me. The bigger challenge here is on the customer marketing side of things, especially trying to gain a toehold in a market that already has established players, which is probably going to be just about any market, right? But if Anthony and Janilka can make it work in Dallas, which obviously had a ton of cleaning services already, it's something that can probably be replicated where you are. From the sounds of it, there were a couple things going on. At once, there was this listening aspect, trying to be where customers are. They mentioned Thumbtack, Nextdoor, Google Ads early on, trying to build up some positive feedback and reviews, enough social proof and credibility where it becomes easier for customers to give you a chance. You're no longer this unknown quantity. The second thing was reinvesting in organic SEO, local SEO. This is something that they mentioned they'd been doing for a couple years, but are really only recently starting to see the full impact of. And I wanted to call attention to that because it can be a very long game, especially in a big metro market like this. Smaller town, you're going to have a much shorter road to getting on that first page, but it's a slog to climb the ranks. And then all of a sudden you hit that first page and the floodgates are open. I thought the comparison between Google reviews and Yelp reviews was really interesting. And I'm kind of in the same camp, like prioritize those Google My Business reviews for maximum visibility, because oftentimes that person's search is going to begin on Google and not Yelp, and Google's going to prioritize those. Inside your company dashboard in Google My Business, there should be a direct link. You can send people to ask them to leave a review, which was a tip Matt Rowell shared as something that really helped his knife sharpening business gain over 100 reviews in, I want to say, less than a year. So if you can bake some sort of feedback loop like that into your process for a local business, I think you'll start to see some real positive results in Google, which becomes self-perpetuating in a way, as long as the service remains good and customers stay happy, right? But once again, you'll find the full text summary of this episode, along with all the links to the resources mentioned at sidehustlenation.com/clean2. Well, while you're there, I put together a free bonus download of 101 service business ideas that you might be able to apply Anthony and Janilka's strategy to. Once again, that's at sidehustlenation.com/clean2 or through the link in the episode description of your podcast player app. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on. As a Side Hustle Show listener, I know you're driven. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But I also know you can end up hustling and driving yourself into exhaustion, overwhelm, and even burnout if you don't stay anchored to why you're doing it. That's why I want to recommend another podcast that will massively support your side hustle. It's called What Drives You with host Kevin Miller. Kevin's a former pro athlete. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who started 19 different businesses. He's a father of 9 kids, an author, and a mountain adventurer as well. He knows both the glory and the dark side of drive and has devoted his life to helping people who want to drive further, faster, but also enjoy the ride every single day. He brings on today's most influential people in personal and business development to see what drives them and get their guidance on the key ingredients that power our own drive. If you want to fully harness your drive and find peace and fulfillment in the process, go find What Drives You with Kevin Miller wherever you listen to podcasts.